Hi, folks. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Welcome to episode number 342 of the Handgun World Podcast, a practical show done by a practical guy. That is me. I'm not a gunsmith, ex-law enforcement, or ex-military. I just really pretty much I'm an everyday guy. I started doing a little bit of firearms training on the side a few years ago. And I guess you could probably say I'm fairly well connected with the industry and study this stuff quite a bit. But, you know, I always have something to learn. So this podcast is about what I learn, and I like to share it with you. This week I'm going to answer some listener voicemails. I like it when people call in, ask questions, make comments, things like that. So I'll be getting to those in a few moments. A few things I'd like to say about kind of some current events that's been going on before I get to the voicemails. I don't like to get into politics a lot, but I do have to mention it. You know, when I was recently listening to Paul Markle from Student of the Gun Radio, when I was listening to him be a guest host for Tom Gresham at Gun Talk, he was talking about not ignoring politics. You can't, because it does affect us. What the decisions that politicians make, it does affect us. And you can choose to ignore it if you want, but just because you ignore it doesn't mean that the politics and all the maneuvers and all the shenanigans that they do, it doesn't mean that that's going to stop. It doesn't mean that they're going to quit doing that. One of the things I liked is I liked Donald Trump's comments about gun-free zones. Now, I'm not saying I'm endorsing Donald Trump. I have not made anybody my choice yet for president. Way too early for that. But I do pay attention to what's going on. And, you know, Donald Trump pretty much attacked gun-free zones. And I think that's pretty good, you know, attacking gun-free zones. It's good when this subject comes up in national debates, because it seems like the firearms topic, you know, President Obama's doing a pretty good job of talking about it and politicizing it and making all about guns whenever there are shootings. But I'm glad that the subject comes up in these presidential debates, because I do want to hear where these people stand on it, don't you? And basically Donald Trump said something like, you know, if we get rid of these gun-free zones, then it's less likely that a lot of this stuff will happen. And if it does happen, there won't be as many people getting killed. I think he's right about that. So I applaud. I'll just say this. I'll give credit where credit is due. I will applaud Mr. Trump saying that in a recent debate. Now, you could say, well, Bob, guess what? You know, I know Mr. Trump. I know, you know, where he stands on stuff and blah, blah, blah. And he's just not solid on this, that, and the other thing. You know what? We got plenty of time to figure all that out. We got 13 months or so, or actually about a year, to figure all that stuff out. For now, I'm just glad that it's being talked about and that the hideous nature of gun-free zones is being talked about. Now, another thing I want to talk about that's been on my mind lately, and that is buy ammo. I got to buy some more ammo. And we've got ammo prices that are low right now. So take advantage of it. Stock up now. Please don't be one of those people the next time that we have a limited ammo supply event. And I said next time. It is going to happen. It is going to happen. Who knows when? We can't predict the future, but it's going to happen where you can't find ammo, can't buy guns, the prices of everything go sky high because some event happens and some politicians start, you know, clamoring and getting their way. So, and, you know, who knows what's going to happen now in the next year and 2 months that this administration is still going to be around. You know, don't forget, they're still going to be around for another year and 2 months. All kinds of things can happen. Buy now. You know, it's kind of like buying investments. And I really do think that ammo is an investment. You know, how often does ammunition take a steep drop in prices? Okay, it's gone down lately, but it doesn't take a real steep drop. And right now, we might be at the bottom of the market right now in ammunition. Okay, it's kind of like a stock market. I'm making believe that the ammunition market is like the stock market. But, you know, buy now, buy low, buy at low prices. You know, LuckyGunner.com, you can go over to ModernSelfProtection.com/ammo, Ben's podcast. Ben is an affiliate with Lucky Gunner. You can also use some of the other websites out there. You will help out Ben's podcast if you go to ModernSelfProtection.com/ammo. And, you know, I like to do that whenever I can. They have excellent deals, and there's all kinds of ammunition. AmmoSeek.com, AmmunitionToGo.com. I'm pretty sure that Ammunition To Go sponsors Glenn Tate. Unless they've terminated that, I'm pretty sure that, you know, they sponsor Glenn Tate, and you can support them. And, you know, just find a good deal. Buy 500 rounds of your most used caliber, and then buy at least 250 rounds of your second most used caliber, and do that every couple months and stock up. And if you're a regular shooter, regular trainer, competition shooter, maybe you might want to buy 1,000 of your most used caliber and 500 of your second most used caliber. Before you go, drop the money on another gun, get some ammo, and get signed up for some training or some competition classes. Okay, let's get to the voicemails. I'm going to go ahead and play the voicemails and then make some good comments on them. Let me give my number out. 210-646-1727. If you want to call in to the voicemail and leave me a comment, ask a question, 210-646-1727. Let's listen to the first one.
Hi, Bob. This is Jim from the suburbs of Chicago. I hope this voicemail is finds you and your family well. I know you've been having some difficulties, so prayers to you and your family. I'd like to leave a message concerning your favorite topic, training. My personal experience over the last couple of years, I digress, I should go back. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to take Masada Yub's MAG 40 class, and I know you've spoken about that in the past. Since that time, over the last few years, I have had the privilege of being a guest instructor from Masada Yub for MAG 40 twice and a MAG 80 class also. And the reason that I'm bringing this up is, you know, with training, people seem to want to go to a class, they go to one class, and then that's it. And over these last several classes that I've taught with Masada Yub, it's amazing to me that even being a graduate of his MAG 40, how many different things you can pick up being behind the scenes and helping running the line and so forth. It's just amazing that every class has been uniquely different when you have just a different mass of people every time that comes through, the topic of conversation always seems to go in a different way. And it spurs up different stories, different things that have happened to different shooters, etc. I just kind of wanted to point that out, that I think it's a very useful thing to not only go to training, but to maybe even take that same training over more than once, because I don't really think that you can absorb everything, especially a MAG 40 class, fully one time through. There's a lot packed into that class. As you know, you've also have been a guest instructor to do that class, so you know exactly where I'm coming from, excuse me, and I think you know the value of that. And also I wanted to just point out, and I'm sure your listeners and you might already know this product, I just kind of stumbled across the Laser Light training cartridges, and I want to say that is an awesome, awesome tool to do dry practice with, and I found that this last time that I shot the qualifier in front of class, which I'm sure you've done as well, I shot it with Glock 19 Gen 4, and I didn't do quite as well as I did with my XDM model 45. So I had a little bit of trouble getting out to around 15 yards with that pistol. I haven't had a lot of reps with it. And
okay, there's a second part to Jim's voicemail, which I will play for you in a little while, but I want to make some comments on what he just said. He brought up a great point. Jim in Chicago, thanks very much for calling that in. Training classes. You know, I talk a lot about training, how you need to go get training, and you need to also go participate in some competition like IDPA or USPSA or Steel Challenge matches. What you learn from the other students is just as important. And, you know, he brought up a kind of a good point there, and he was, you know, he was talking about having conversations with other students. You know, the instructor will also give you, obviously you're going to learn a lot from the instructor, but the instructor's not the only person that you're going to learn from. Would you agree? I can't tell you how much I have absorbed and learned just by being around other shooters who are training or who are competing and talking to them. And, of course, watching what they do. You can learn from other people's experiences when you're in a training class, when you're in a competition match. And, yes, taking the same training class over and over again is a good idea, at least a couple of times. You know, for those of you that like to compete with handguns or with rifles or shotguns, you know, I'm sure that you have shot some of the same stages over and over again, right? And you probably have learned some things from the first time that you shot it, and you apply it to the second time or the third time or the fourth time that you shot the same stage or something similar. So repetition is the mother of learning, like they've said for years and years. It's over and over and over again. Jim also talked about laser light, and I have not had a chance to pick one of those up, and thanks for the reminder, Jim. I think what I am going to do is I'm going to go and I'm going to invest in a laser light training cartridge pretty soon. And laser light, laser, L-A-S-E-R, light, L-Y-T-E, pretty sure that's how it's spelled. And by the way, if you want to buy one, I'm pretty sure you can get them on Amazon. Go to my Amazon store, handgunworld.com. Go to handgunworld.com first. Click the Amazon store and make your purchases on Amazon through my affiliate link. And you will help support my podcast because Amazon will pay me a small commission if you do that. But Jim, thanks very much for bringing that up about laser lights, because I've heard nothing but great things about those as a training tool, especially for dry fire practice that you can do at home. So much that you can do at home and practice at home. And also, Jim made some good points about assisting instructors. You know, if you get a chance, most good instructors, I can tell you this from experience, and I can tell you this from my own experiences, most good instructors, if they have a big class, don't mind if you assist them. Even if you have, like for example, if you have a range safety officer certification, or you have, you know, some experience or something like that as a safety officer, most of them don't mind doing that. Just, you know, approach them and talk to them. Tell them a little bit about your background. You can't be a newbie. I mean, they're not going to want a newbie to back them up as a range safety officer. But if you're not a newbie, if you used to do some firearms training, if you're NRA certified instructor, or you've been a range safety officer at competition matches before, a lot of times you might want to talk to some instructors, and they will help you, or they will allow you to help them. And what's really cool is, you know, you get to try your hand a little bit at instructing, but you'd be amazed what you learn when you also have to teach different techniques. I learned that many, many years ago, that you can learn also by teaching. Now, one cannot teach what they do not know. So remember that. That's why you've got to build your resume. It's one reason why next year, 2016, I am dedicating next year to being a student and also participating in a lot more competition matches. I have got to sharpen my skills. I cannot go out into the world with a good conscience and teach people if I can't keep my own skills sharp. And I think that's what you should look for in a good instructor. I might teach one class next year with Ben Branham. We're putting one together. And if we can put that together, I'll go out and I'll teach that. But otherwise, if you see me show up at a training class or you see me show up at a competition match, I'm going to be showing up as a student or as a competitor. And I would like to do that. I'd like to train with some of you next year because I'm going to go to some training classes. And I'd like to compete with some of you next year because I'd like to maybe travel and do a little bit of competition next year on the road, not just here in the San Antonio, Austin area, but also going out a little bit on the road. All right, next voicemail.
Hey, Bob. It's Jim again. I'm sorry I'm rambling on. Just wanted to finish up real quick with the laser light cartridges. I find it to be a very useful item to have to dry practice in your home, to save ammo, to just get reps on the trigger. It's amazing that even as well as you think you're pulling the trigger, how much that laser can move right or left, up and down, depending on how you're yanking on the trigger. So I just wanted to pass that along. And then, you know, just again, I think it's awesome if you can rub elbows with a trainer, you know, of the likes of a Masada Yub. I'm going to plug in the Midwest Training Group also, Bob Hausinger and Andy Kemp, who also run our hosts for Masada Yub. Awesome, awesome trainers, awesome shooters, six-time national champion, Bob Hausinger. If anybody, your listeners are in the Midwest and Iowa area, I would highly, highly recommend that they look them up. I train with them also, and I help them also run classes. So as you kind of go along with your shooting career and shooting activities, it's really nice to be able to rub elbows personally for me with these guys, and it's really taken my shooting and my knowledge of firearms and the law and so forth just a whole other level. So with that, I'll finish. Again, prayers to you and your family, and thanks a lot. Talk to you later. Bye.
All right, well said, Jim. Once again, thanks for calling that in. I want to make some comments before I bring up the next voicemail. You know, I'm cruising in my Handgun World mobile studio up and down Interstate 35 here today, going on a small business appointment. And, you know, I started thinking about this. Jim brought up triggers in that last voicemail segment. He talked about using the laser light, and you'll be able to find out if you're jerking on that trigger, which is obviously going to probably be have the biggest effect on your accuracy. The thing I want to say about triggers is be careful not to mess around too much with your triggers, especially on the guns that you carry. Now, I don't want to get into a whole liability argument because, you know, that you can start a big argument whether it's going to be an added liability if you lighten the trigger on your concealed carry pistol. Obviously, if you go to a Mag 40 class, you know, Mass will make a very, very good case as to why you don't want to do that. You don't want to lighten the trigger on a carry pistol. Competition pistols, yeah, that's fine. But I want to say this. You know, I wish I had back all the money that I spent messing around and goofing around with triggers on both competition guns and carry guns. Yeah, I used to do that in the past. I don't mess with triggers anymore on carry guns, but I used to do that. You know, if the difference between a 5.5-pound trigger and a 3.5-pound trigger, if you think it's really going to help you all that much, I will submit to you that taking two or three training classes and 10 to 12 competition matches will probably do just as much to help you as changing out springs and lightening that trigger. You also can induce a lot more malfunctions by messing around with trigger parts. So be careful. You guys know I like to use Glocks. If I'm going to mess with a trigger on my Glocks, I'm going to use Glock factory parts. You know, 3.5-pound connectors that are made by Glock. Okay, they're out there. You can find them. And except for maybe spring kits, Now, you know, competition spring kits, fine, get an aftermarket competition spring kit. I would advise doing that if it's a competitive gun. If you have a malfunction in a competition match, you know, oh well, so what? Big deal. So you had a malfunction, and so you didn't win the match, or you know, that was a bad day for you because you had to clear a couple of malfunctions. Who cares? You don't want that happening if the unfortunate day comes, and I hope it never does, but you don't want that happening if you have to defend your life, right? And whether this is a handgun, whether this is a rifle, whether it's a shotgun, reliability is the absolute most important thing. So getting something like a laser light training cartridge, and you've heard me talk so many times about 1,000-round trigger jobs, or 2,000-round trigger jobs, or even 3,000-round trigger jobs. You know, my Glock 19 that I've tricked out that I put on Facebook, you can see that, by the way. If you go to facebook.com/handgunworldpodcast, you can see my 4th-gen G19 that I've tricked out for IDPA CCP division. And I haven't done anything to the trigger. The trigger's got about 5,000... The gun's got about 5,000 rounds through it, and so the trigger is nice. But it is a stock Gen 4 Glock 19 trigger. I've got a Wilson Combat 9mm barrel in it. I like that. I'm really happy with it. I have a really cool grip stippling job and finger groove removal job done by Citadel Armory here in San Antonio. I met the guy at a gun show, and I saw some samples of his work at the gun show. I was pretty impressed. Gave him one of my Glock 19s, my 4th gen Glock 19s. Really, really like it. And he did not do a grip reduction. People have been asking me, hey, that's a nice reduction. It's not a reduction. All he did was basically remove the finger grooves and did some real nice texturing on the grip. And did some nice undercutting of the trigger guard. Very, very important to undercut the trigger guard if you're going to mess around with the grip on Glocks. That's an important thing to do, or it's a popular thing to do that people like to do that own Glocks. And let's see, I've got a TR Graham match grade slide lock. The slide lock is that part, people call it the takedown lever. And there's a gentleman up in, I believe he's up in Benbrook, Texas, in North Texas near Dallas-Fort Worth, TR Graham. He has been modifying Glocks for years, and he is about the only gunsmith that, well, there are two. There are two people I take advice from when I modify a Glock. T.R. Graham is one of those, and I really like what he makes. He makes this match-grade slide lock. And what that is, it's a different takedown lever, and it will cause a little bit tighter lockup. It'll cause that barrel lug. If you look at it, if you look at the way it's made, the notch in the takedown lever is narrower. So every time that gun cycles, the barrel lug will lock up just a little bit tighter. And I can tell, when I put that in, even a stock Glock, and I put that in there, I can tell there's a little bit tighter barrel fit, and it's never affected reliability in a negative way. So I use that. Let's see, what else do I have? That's pretty much it. Right now I'm using speed sights on that Glock 19. I might switch them out for a little bit more competition-friendly sights. We'll see. Probably going to be doing that in the near future. But that's going to be one of my IDPA CCP guns. I also recently bought a Walther PPQ M2. And Sparks Firearms, Ben Branham over at Sparks Firearms, they had a good deal on the Walther PPQ M2, and I snapped one of those up, and it does fit in the box for the IDPA CCP compact carry pistol division, and so I am going to be also shooting a Walther PPQ once I get some more magazines for that, order a holster for it, and give it a 1,000-round trigger job first. That's what I want to do first. Get used to that gun before I start competing with it and training with it and things. And I'm probably going to do nothing to it. I'm just going to compete with it just the way it is. The trigger on that is fantastic. Woohoo! I'm looking forward to shooting that trigger on the Walther PPQ M2. That's going to be a great competition gun for that IDPA division. Heard there's some rule changes coming up again. some IDPA rule changes coming up. Yeah, whatever. You know, I'm not a masterclass shooter yet. Maybe. Maybe if I start practicing more and training more and competing more, I'll get up there. Got to get to expert first. I'm classified as an IDPA sharpshooter right now. Got to get to expert first and maybe someday master. You know, those rule changes probably are not going to affect a guy like me too much because I'm not at that level. Now, if I was at one of the upper levels, yeah, I'd probably be whining and crying about proposed rule changes, but those are just proposed. Let's see what happens. You can Google that, and if you just Google new IDPA rule change proposal for 2015, it has to do with the scoring system, and you'll see everything I'm talking about. Okay, next voicemail.
Whenever you see big city mayors campaigning for gun control, rows of uneasy-looking police officers are forced to stand behind the mayors. The reason our police friends are uneasy is they don't buy into the mayor's political scam. The president of the Black Police Caucus said his members believe there should be no gun rationing, and nearly 100% of their membership thinks criminals are able to obtain guns through illegal means. Likewise, 94% of the National Association of the Chiefs of Police believe that citizens should be able to purchase firearms for self-defense and sporting purposes. Maybe this is why billionaire New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg called the 32,000-member Fraternal Order of Police a fringe group, because unlike Michael, cops know who the good guys are, namely you, not Bloomberg. Arm yourself with facts to strip the gun control industry bare. Visit gunfacts.info and get your free copy of Gun Facts. Called Indispensable by Cam Edwards of NRA News, Gun Facts is your rapid reference guide to debunking gun control myths and shaming politicians into obedience. www.gunfacts.info.
Okay, during this little break here between voicemails, I wanted to remind you to leave me an iTunes review. If you listen to this show by going through the iTunes podcast app, if you wouldn't mind going over there, if you haven't already, leaving me a review, that just helps people learn more about the Handgun World podcast. Also, remember, November 21st and 22nd, there's still a few spots left for Beyond Concealed Carry Advanced, and that'll be the last class that I'll be involved in for a while as an instructor. Chaz Murray from the Road Gunner Podcast, Tracy Thronberg, who interviewed with me last week, and Ben Branham and myself, we are going to be the four instructors. The first day, I'm just going to be a student. I want to experience what Chaz and Tracy teach. So I'm just going to be a student. I think Ben is too. And then we're going to teach the second day some advanced skills. So you have to have had some training before. You can't be brand new at this. This can't be your first training class. Obviously, if you're a graduate of one of our Beyond Concealed Carry classes or even one of the Suarez International classes that I taught in the last couple years, you qualify. So you can go ahead and get signed up. Go to handgunworld.com, and that's November 21st and 22nd, the weekend before Thanksgiving. There's going to be a little get-together. Chaz Murray has invited everybody. I believe it's on Saturday night at his brother-in-law's house. And you can do a little bit of minor league partying with us. Well, at least for me, it's going to be minor league. I don't know about Chaz. Can't speak for him and his family and so on and so forth, but you're invited to that. Anyway, that's going to be an excellent two-day class. And, you know, I just got off the phone with Chris Rainey up in Argyle, Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth area. He called me to ask me a couple of questions, and I think I'm going to take one or two of Chris's classes next year. He's got a vehicle fighting class, and he's got a foundations class that I want to take those. Like I said, I want to start perfecting, or at least, well, I guess you never perfect the basics, but I really want to start advancing my ability to perform the basics, and also there's something you can learn from everybody. So that's why I'm a big believer in training. You know, if you go to a training class, pick up one idea, it's worth it. And I've never done any vehicle fighting training, so, you know, shooting from a car. So that's going to be kind of fun. And he's also got some nighttime shoots that I'm going to probably participate in on maybe a Thursday night coming up pretty soon. I'll announce that more as we get a little closer to it. Also, don't forget about our Shooters Club. Don't forget about the really cool giveaway. There's two ways that you can enter. You can do it for free by making a video. If you want to send us about a 45-second video explaining how you like my podcast or Ben Branham's podcast, or even just ask us a question by video, you can email it to me at bob@handgunworld.com. That's bob@handgunworld.com. And you will be entered to win. If you are a Shooters Club member, you'll be entered twice. So how about that? You'll be assigned two numbers, and I'll be using random.org on December 24th to pick the winners, and Ben and I will be doing a special podcast about that. You can win an XDS 9mm pistol by Springfield. It's the gun that I bought a few months back. It's probably had about 250 to 300 rounds fired through it, which is nothing. And it's in wonderful condition. Four magazines with it. Ben's got a holster also. A Springfield XDS 9mm could be yours if you either are a member of our Shooters Club, and of course you get two entries, or make that video and you can enter for free. And then also, last but not least, remember, Christmas time is coming up. And if you're going to buy something through Amazon, please go to handgunworld.com and use my Amazon store first. That'd be really cool because I'm an Amazon affiliate. And a lot of you do that. A lot of you support my show. It's a way you can do it without spending any extra money. So go through my Amazon store when you make your Amazon purchases. Do that each time. If you just make those two simple steps before you do that, I would really appreciate it. It would help me out and help support this show. All right. Quick sound effect. We'll get to the next voicemail.
Steve Hoffman here, just binge listening to your podcast. I had another pop up the back of my mind, and it all centers around kind of like attitude, and it's more so on attitude while you're carrying, and also while you're out public while carrying, and that relates to a couple of things. First of all, I don't know if anybody's noticed, but a lot of the time, it's pretty easy to spot a gun guy, primarily because of, you know, the sticker he's got on his vehicle. I generally don't do that, and I'm not real, you know, a fan of doing that sort of thing. You know, I've got that one sticker on my truck that states the obvious, that cancer sucks, but otherwise, you would know that, you know, I myself am armed. On that note, whereas in addition to that, I find myself, and maybe other people can also confirm this, that when I'm carrying, I'm a whole lot more laid back and subdued. If you're in a, you know, traffic jam or, you know, having a real bad day, there's a lot better of a chance that I will not do anything brash or stupid or whatnot, simply because I'm carrying a handgun and I know I need to be better than that when I'm armed. And it's interesting that carrying a firearm, of all things, is what actually sedates me, publicly anyway. And I'm just kind of curious if anybody else was like that, because it's not that I'm worried about somebody spotting me and saying, ah, he's got a gun or something. I don't want to be noticed. And that's how I do it. I don't put stickers on my truck. I don't have, you know, a hat with Glock on it. And I try not to stand out. What's that, gray man? I'm kind of a gray man type thing. So, as a reference to Glenn Tate, his books, I guess. But anyway, just wanted to make a quick comment on that. Curious what your thoughts are on it as well. But otherwise, hope everything is going all right, and hopefully we'll possibly see you lads sometime in the future if I can get out there and throw some cash at you to do another training course. Otherwise, cheers.
Thank you, Mark. His nickname is Mark the Noof. He's from Newfoundland, Canada. But he's now a Texan, and he's been through several of our classes. Mark, thanks for calling that in. Great voicemail about attitude. I've said this before. Let me repeat it. I really believe that you need to walk around acting like normal and like there's nothing really going on when you're carrying. You need to just do the same things and act the same way that you normally act. And he made a good point about your vehicle. Keep your vehicles looking as normal as you can. You know, my vehicle, the Handgun World Mobile Studio. I don't have stickers from gun manufacturers. I don't have an NRA sticker. I got a license plate holder, which is about the 13-time world champion Green Bay Packers. Right, yeah, because you guys know, I'm a cheesehead. I was raised in Wisconsin, so, you know, that's it. So I got my Green Bay Packer license plate holder, and that's it. You know, I might put my San Antonio Spurs sticker back on because basketball season's started now. Basketball's not my favorite sport, but it's my second favorite sport. And hopefully the Spurs will bring championship number 6 into San Antonio. I don't know. But that's it. Yeah. You know, Mark runs around with a cancer sucks sticker. Hey, I couldn't agree more. I'm a cancer survivor. Thank God. Thanks to the great physician above, I am a cancer survivor, and I plan on staying that way. Thank you for the prayers. I appreciate that. Keep them coming for me and my family every day. But be as normal as you can. And your attitude, yes, your attitude, your demeanor has a lot to do with it. People should not know that you're a gun guy or a gun gal. Of course, unless they know you personally and know about you and know what you do and things like that. That's the key. We have open carry starting here in Texas, January 1, 2016. You can open carry. And of course, a lot of you listening to this show, you can open carry. And maybe some of you have been doing it for a long time. I'm just a believer in people not knowing that I'm carrying a gun. That's just my philosophy. Either way is okay. I'm not against open carry. I encourage it. I'm glad to see that it's coming to Texas. One of the great things is if I want to have a big pistol on me one day, if I want to be carrying something large and I don't completely conceal it, hey, that's okay. After January, or beginning on January 1, 2016, I won't be a lawbreaker of any kind because open carry will be legal here in the state of Texas. So anyway, Mark, good voicemail about attitude and about how you show yourself, or rather how you not show yourself when you're carrying. Mark called in another one. Let's listen to that one.
Hey, Bob. Mark News here. It's been a while since I called in and said anything. Came up with something I think I needed to say. Just wanted to talk quickly about factions. And there's all different types in the firearms world. There's, you know, the typical 1911 versus Glock faction. There's the, speed shooter versus, accuracy shooter. There's all different kinds. There's even, air gun versus center fire versus rim fire and things like that. And they all think they're the best, they're right, everybody else is wrong and whatever, and that's fine, you know. But the one faction I've been noticing lately, and maybe faction is a bit of a strong descriptor, but is the way that we train to shoot or shoot to train, or however you want to look at it. Here's what I mean. Many of us, including myself, I am part of a firearm club out here, a rifle club, and we have a range, and it has pistol and rifle at the 300. It's a great spot. But like many ranges, you can't drop a holster, you can't move, you can't do anything like that. And that is the vast majority of us. We cannot, quote-unquote, get off the X, because we don't have the opportunity to do that. And I've been noticing, ignoring the training part, I agree with the training, but there's been a lot, I've been hearing and noticing a lot of talk of, well, if you're not getting off the X, you're not training, and such. But I'm not entirely in agreement with that. I think my fundamentals are okay, and I gained those by going to the range and doing what I'm doing. Setting up, you know, three targets, 3 or 4 feet apart, and shooting left, right, center, left, right, that type of thing. So I like to think that I can do that. Now, the more advanced stuff, dry, and moving and shooting, I do not have the opportunity to do that. And I think that needs to be addressed, that not all of us can do that. So perhaps maybe you guys could come up with something, maybe through the Shooters Club, to give people that can't run around on an open range a method to practice and get a little bit better. But anyway, just something that was kind of in the back of my mind a little bit, and thought I'd make a comment on it. So hope you and yours are doing well and managing to shuffle on through. And I'm hoping that maybe I can get out to see you, hosers and cheeseheads, in another training.
Okay, that was Mark the Noof again calling in. Yeah, he makes a good point about factions. And, you know, when he made the point there about training, about, you know, what type of person are you when it comes to your training, or what do you believe in? You know, I'm a real big believer in busting off the X. I am. But I'm not going to go so far as to say that you're not doing any training or that your training is not effective if you're not practicing that. You do need to practice that, and that's one of the great things I've always said that you can do in a training class, is you can do things in a training class that you can't do in most ranges, right? How many of you have figured that out? Same with competition matches. When you go to IDPA or USPSA or AASA or Steel Challenge, you know, there are things that you can do, especially drawing from a holster and movement and things like that and multiple targets, you just simply can't do anywhere else. So here's the faction, since Mark talked about factions, here's the faction that I fall into. At least do something different. At least go train. Go take a class somewhere. At least go to a competition match. Do something to where you are getting out of your comfort zone. You're doing something different than what you normally do. And for a lot of people, normally practicing is simply going down to the square range, plunking down your money, renting a lane, walking up to the shooting line, handgun in a case or in your shooting bag, take it out, load it, stand there, push the button, and run the target out to 3 yards. Bang, 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 bang. Shoot a group. Look at it. Woo! And then brag to your friends about how small that group is. Look at that. They're all 1 inch. And then roll your target out to 7 yards. You just keep doing the same thing. That's not training, and it's not even good practice. So, you know, Mark says that, you know, he'll put three targets, he'll go somewhere where he can shoot like three targets and, you know, practice transitioning from one target to another. That's fine. That's good. That's good practice. At least that's something a little bit different than what the general public does. So I think both of his voicemails about attitude and about factions, and be careful. Yeah, don't get into some silly faction where you're arguing and really, you know, spending some time and stressing out about nonsensical things. You know, analyzing to death the platform of the gun you shoot or the caliber that you use, or, you know, what your trigger weight is and stuff like that. That's obsessive stuff that people in the shooting community seem to get into that I think is really kind of nonsensical. I mean, we carry these things called handguns that really suck in terms of stopping power. They really do, but they're convenient to carry. So, because they're really not all that good of man stoppers, and if you want to know what I'm talking about, well, what do you mean, Bob? What do you mean handguns suck? You know, I don't want to get shot with one. Well, no, nobody wants to get shot with a handgun. Nobody wants to get shot with anything. But there are all kinds of studies and accounts of people defending themselves with a handgun, and the perpetrator survives. Quite often, the majority of time, the perpetrator survives. So really what this is all about stopping someone from trying to do or from in, that's in the act of doing a bad thing to us. You know, if you want the absolute most stopping power that most ordinary citizens can use, you're talking rifle and shotgun. Compared to rifles and shotguns, handguns have horrible power. But anyway, so that's why you need to learn how to use them and use them well. So many people have a false sense of security. Okay, so many ordinary gun owners, and I have nothing against ordinary gun owners. I'm happy that there have been so many people becoming gun owners over the last several years. I think that's a great thing. It's better than the opposite. But there are so many people that buy a 9mm or a 40 or a 45 handgun or a 38 snub-nose revolver. And like I said, they shoot 100 rounds a year standing at a square range and think that they're protected. And they think that when the bad guy who has hours and hours and hours of street training and he's an artist in doing violence, they think that when that guy attacks him, all they got to do is whip out a gun and it's all over. Now, does that happen? Yeah, sure, it does. Sometimes the presence of a firearm, just the presence of a firearm, sometimes that ends it. But don't bet your life completely on that. What if it doesn't end it? Do you know what to do against a hardened criminal? Can you at least draw that gun and put 2 to 4 rounds on target? I'm not talking about missing. I'm talking about 2 to 4 quality hits quickly in a couple seconds. It can be done. People do it all the time. I've done it. Lots of people who listen to this show have done it. And can you do that with regularity? So that wraps up the voicemails, and it almost wraps up this episode. Kind of a short episode, but I'm a real big believer in brevity. If you can't say something, if you can't make your point within 2 or 3 minutes, you probably can't make your point. You know, I put something out on Facebook recently, and it was basically to my fellow podcasters out there. Brevity, brevity. I've been listening to some podcasts lately, which I'm going to talk about some podcasts I have been listening to that I really, really enjoy. But there's some others that I've been listening to that I've been getting a little bit irritated by because the hosts or even the guest hosts just take a long time to make the point. Or they'll come up with a point and then they'll talk about it 5 or 6 times. And I'm thinking, hey, I got it the first time, okay? You don't need to keep on rambling and rambling. Anyway, I am also a listener. I'm not just a podcast. So what do I listen to and who do I listen to? I like to listen to Tom Gresham's Gun Talk. I listen to the podcast on Sundays. I can't be listening live very often. But Tom Gresham's Gun Talk is excellent. Excellent. Student of the Gun Radio, Paul Markle and Jared Markle, Student of the Gun Radio. That's a great one. Of course, I listen to Bennett Modern Self-Protection as much as I can. Chaz Murray, Road Gunner Podcast. Listen to him as much as I possibly can. Polite Society Podcast, Paul Lathrop and the other 1,700 people who do that show. But it's a quality show. It's very good, very well done. And, you know, Paul, keep doing a good job. Keep heading up that show. Do a good job. Paul Carlson, Safety Solutions Academy. Like listening to his show as well. And anytime, you know, once in a while when Mag 40 puts out, when the Pro Arms people, Masada Yu, Gail Pepin, and the whole crew over at Pro Arms, you know, they put out a show about once every 4 or 5 months. And so I like to listen to them. And the Paracast, Tom Nelson Paracast, listen to that once in a while with Tommy Nelson and Steve Kosky. Not bad, pretty good stuff there. Especially they've been talking recently about competition shooting and so forth. And since I have a renewed interest in competition shooting and want to get out there. Although I tell you, you know, I'm going to sidetrack here a little bit. San Antonio has a lot of competition matches, but yeah, man, they just seem to be... They've had some bad luck with weather here. We've had a whole lot of rain, and a lot of stuff's been getting canceled because of unsafe range conditions and things because of all the rain. So if it ever stops raining here in the greater San Antonio area, then I'll get back out and do some competitions. You know, it's funny. We went through like 4 months of no rain after Memorial Day. We went through about like 3.5 to 4 months of almost nothing. And then we get like 12 inches in a week. That's just the way, that's Texas. That's what happens. You know, we had all kinds of flooding back in May. Now we got all kinds of flooding again in October. What happened between May and October? Nothing. Drought. Now the drought is busted again. So, anyway, those are some of the shows that I like to listen to. I want to wrap this up by saying I had a good time a couple weeks ago. Went up to Titletown, USA. That's right. Went up to Green Bay. Took my son to a Packer game. My son and I try to go every year. Last year I couldn't go because of all my cancer treatments. So I fulfilled a promise to my son to make sure that we went this year. And we did because my health gave me, God gave me the ability to have good health to be able to go up there and do that. Had a lot of fun. The only problem is that, of course, you know, going to a Packer game is a major sporting event. I couldn't carry in there, but Wisconsin being a gun-friendly state, that's nice now. Used to be when I go back to Wisconsin, it wasn't so gun-friendly, and that was kind of a bummer, but that's all kind of changed now. I had a good time with some old high school friends of mine. About 15 or 16 of us got together and kind of had a little high school get-together. It wasn't a reunion, but it was just a bunch of us getting together because we like to stay in touch, and that was a lot of fun. So enough about me personally. With that said, folks, thanks for listening to another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I'm Bob Main. Why do I carry a gun? Well, it's pretty simple, because I can't carry a cop. Remember, evil does not exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of man. That's where it exists, in the heart of man. Shoot straight, shoot safe. Catch you next week. Goodbye.